ॐ हरि ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ सदाशिवसमारम्भाम् व्यासशङ्करमध्यमाम् अस्मद्विद्विषावहैः ॐ शान्तिःशान्तिःशान्तिः। I thought let me briefly state what we have seen in what we need to remember from 11th chapter. Because 55 verses we have seen Vishwarupa Darshanam. What exactly we need to remember there, I want to tell you here. As I mentioned earlier, the difference between the 10th chapter and the 11th chapter is this. 10th chapter is a Vibhuti Yogaha, where we see everything in this universe as Bhagavan's Vibhuti, glory of Bhagavan. Which means we see Bhagavan in everything in the world. So seeing Bhagavan in everything, appreciating everything as the glory of Bhagavan is the content of 10th chapter. Whereas in the 11th chapter, we do not see Bhagavan in everything. We see the whole cosmos in Bhagavan. We see the whole cosmos as Bhagavan. It's called Vishvam Rupam Yasya Saha Vishwarupaha. The one whose form is nothing but the whole universe. It is Vishwarupa Darshanam. So before going to the 12th chapter, I wanted to really make it clear. From the 7th chapter onwards, until this 10th chapter, we have a clear basic understanding of Ishvara. Because this, the importance, the beauty, the significance of the Vishwarupa Darshanam can be completely understood only if we have very clear understanding of the contents of the other four chapters, 7th, 8th, 9th and 10th chapters. Because in those chapters, Vyasa Bhagavan, through the words of Krishna, has presented very elaborately the Bhagavat Swarupam, the nature of Bhagavan. When I say the nature of Bhagavan, I mean definition of the Lord, the concept of God. So in there, we understand Bhagavan is the Lord, the God Bhagavan is presented as the cause of the universe, Jagat Karanam. Bhagavan, of course, is the cause of the universe. So once we say the cause of the universe is Bhagavan, then which cause is Bhagavan? So Shastra makes it very clear. Bhagavan is not the cause, but the cause of the universe is another than Bhagavan. The truth which is looked upon as Bhagavan. So intelligent cause is also Bhagavan. Material cause also is Bhagavan. Instrumental cause is also Bhagavan. So upadana karanam, nimitta karanam, sahakari karanam, all three are none other than Bhagavan. Therefore, Bhagavan, if Bhagavan is abhinna nimitta upadana karanam of the jagat, then another fact must become very clear, that the whole cosmos is non-different from Bhagavan. Bhagavan is non-separate from the universe. Already it must become very clear. If Bhagavan is the material cause of the universe, and no effect, if the universe is like an effect, then we can understand this fact, no effect is independent of the cause, no effect is different from the cause, and no cause is separate from the effect. Like no ornament is different from the gold, no furniture is different from the wood, no pot is different from clay, so no jagat is different from Bhagavan. So Bhagavan is non-separate from the whole cosmos. Bhagavan alone is in the form of the cosmos. This is a very simple thing we all would have understood. Therefore, whenever we see the cause, whenever we see the effect, we're actually seeing the cause only. Seeing the ornament is actually seeing the cause, gold. Seeing the furniture is actually seeing the wood. Seeing the ocean is actually seeing the water. So seeing the cause, effect is actually seeing Bhagavan. Seeing Bhagavan, its source. Therefore, Bhagavan makes it very clear. Hey Arjuna, I am here as the upadana karanam of this prapancha, of this universe. And I am the intelligent cause of this universe. Therefore, I am the whole. Bhagavan makes it very clear. So before this universe became manifest also, it was not outside of me. And even after becoming manifest also, it is not different from me. So there is never a time this universe is different from its means. Only the difference is, before the manifestation, all the forms, names and functions which constitute the universe remained unmanifest as Bhagavan. And after the manifestation, they still non-separate from Bhagavan. Only difference is, before the manifestation, the universe was in causal condition. After the manifestation, is in the form of universe. So, karya karana avastha bhedaha alone is there. Otherwise, there is no difference. There is no substantial difference. There is only difference in condition, difference in time. Therefore, world, the universe is never away and different from Bhagavan. When the universe becomes resolved also, it cannot go anywhere far outside of Bhagavan. So what Shastram says is, If appreciation of Bhagavan is there, then there is no universe for the person. There is only Bhagavan. Only a person who does not have understanding of Bhagavan can see the universe as universe. So what is universe for an Ajnani is a Bhagavan for a Jnani. So the whole cosmos is an embodiment of Bhagavan. Don't get restless. Keep on listening. I'm gradually developing subject matter here, teaching here. So if I'm able to see this whole cosmos as the form of Bhagavan, embodiment of the Lord, then this appreciation of seeing the whole cosmos as embodiment of Bhagavan alone is said to be Vishwarupa Darshanam. Because in my perception, the very universe is not something very extraordinary object, but the very same Jagat in my appreciation is only an ordinary universe. It is not something extraordinary for me, but it's ordinary universe itself. When it is looked upon as an embodiment of Bhagavan, as the very form of Bhagavan, as Murti of Bhagavan, as the body of Bhagavan, then the perception I have is a new perception. And the new perception based on my understanding, the new perception based on my new understanding is said to be Divya Chakshuhu. I want to understand because Krishna said, Divyam Dadamite Chakshuhu. Arjuna, I'll give you divine, I'll bless you with the divine eye. Divya Chakshuhu. You need a Divya Chakshu to see Vishwarupam of Bhagavan, to appreciate the fact of the whole universe being Bhagavan's form. The cosmic form of Bhagavan, you need to see that, you need a Divya Chakshuhu. Bhagavan said to Arjuna. And here, let us start understanding what exactly is Divya Chakshuhu. What does Krishna actually mean? What does Vyasa Bhagavan mean? Tell us through the words of Krishna as Divya Chakshuhu. What is Divya Chakshuhu? What does it mean by saying divine eye? So, if there is an appreciation, if I do not, I see this universe as an ordinary. Seeing this universe as something extraordinary thing is not important here. Seeing this very same, the old, ordinary universe, which is every day seen by us, experienced by us. This world itself, if it is looked upon as an embodiment of Bhagavan, as the form body of Bhagavan, then there is a new perception. This is a new perception based on the understanding. New perception is possible only if there is understanding. And this understanding based upon which one has a different perception of the world as Bhagavan is called Divya Chakshuhu. Once there is an understanding, based on understanding there is a different perception of the world as Bhagavan, then naturally there will be completely different attitude towards this universe. This attitude, a different attitude I have towards this universe, based on my perception of the universe as Bhagavan, based on my understanding of how everything is Bhagavan as the Jagat Karanam, then that attitude is an extraordinary attitude, even though what is perceived is an ordinary world. An ordinary world looked upon as Bhagavan blesses me with what? A completely an extraordinary attitude towards this entire very, very simple, everyday, perceptible, ordinary world. Vishwam, samagram vishwam, bhagavataha shariramewa. This entire universe is nothing but the form of Bhagavan. Bhagavan is in the form of the universe. Okay. If this fact is not understood by us, if it is not known to us, we have to see differently. Everything in this universe is very, very ordinary. But in my perception, it becomes something very great, extraordinary. Any ordinary thing becomes a significant thing, an extraordinary thing, an important thing, a preservable thing, only when it is associated with something very great. An ordinary thing associated with something great, a great person, a great place, becomes extraordinary. After all, the water, think of the water, Ganga water. What is the difference between water flowing in Ganga or water flowing in Rhine in Germany or water flowing in Thames in London? What is the difference? Or water in even ordinary water anywhere else? Any water, river water is the same water, same H2O. But what is the attitude I have towards Ganga? That attitude is towards Ganga, that attitude of looking at it as a holy river, divine river, and the respect for that, the worship, the puja, we bow to that, arati, that is because the river Ganga is associated with Veda Shastra. It is looked upon as a symbol of Vedic, eternal flow of Vedic wisdom. This associating the Ganga with the Veda Shastram makes that Ganga different. My understanding of Ganga being the symbol of the Veda Shastram, understanding born, appreciation, understanding born, reverence. My attitude towards the river Ganga is different because of my understanding that it is associated with the Veda Shastram. Because of my appreciation of Veda Shastram means something great. Similarly, any prasadam given in any temple, whether it is any prasadam, a leaf is given, a sweet is given, some food is given, rice is given, whatever is given, we accept it. It is ordinary food which you cook at home. Not a great thing, nothing extraordinary about it. still, when you, because you associate it as something which is offered to Bhagavan and comes back, then you look at it with different attitude. So prasada buddhi, attitude changes towards it. Even anything, any sweet given in the temple, like prasadams like payasam or modakam or laddu, etc. Even a diabetic person accepts it with reverence, even though he cannot eat it. Because of the attitude, because of the understanding, association. What you associate it makes you have a different attitude towards it. So the contents, chemical contents of the prasadam is the same. The physical appearance of the prasadam is the same. So the attitude towards it is not based on your understanding born of the analysis of the chemical contents or the physical appearance. No, it's just the association. It is given from the temple as prasada. Okay? And this attitude is towards that as prasadam is born out of the understanding. And Krishna, what Krishna means is this attitude of seeing everything as Bhagavan is born out of understanding of the fact that there is no material cause or intelligent cause or instrumental cause other than Bhagavan, without whose presence the universe cannot exist at all. This understanding, you know, gives you, makes you have the attitude, changes the attitude. This attitude born of the understanding is known as Divya Chakshuhu. Please make, underline this. Attitude born of the understanding of the fact of the whole cosmos being non-different from Bhagavan, the whole cosmos being the form of Bhagavan, is what is called Divya Chakshu. Understanding is Divya Chakshu. Understanding is Divya Chakshu, and attitude born out of understanding is Divya Chakshu. Sometimes people go to this antique shops and they buy things. They pay. Antique shop means sometimes when broken things, useless things also they sell. But it has one name, antique. Broken, useless. Suppose something very, some auction. Sometimes there'll be auction also. Anything very broken, completely unusable, good for nothing, still, because it has a very highly expensive thing, very expensive thing, people go and bid and they pay to the nose, a lot of money they pay to buy, and not till they buy it, they can bring it back and keep it very safe because all day is broken and useless. It cannot be used anymore. It may not stay very long. Still, people want to preserve it, and they can boast that they have got somebody else some very precious antique stuff. They think it's very valuable. Why? Because it was used by a great person. The world-renowned violinist used the violin. World-renowned guitarist used the guitar. So even then, he was once upon a time, he was a world-renowned person. He is no more. And somebody said, we do not know whether it is his or not. He used it, his signature is there. Old, broken, useless. And we buy and keep, people buy and keep. That attitude, that reverence, the respect for that, is because it is associated with somebody who was very well known, very famous. This is very natural. In the same way, here also, when I look at this universe, it's an ordinary universe. Every day I see, I hear, I smell, I taste, every day I perceive. But my ordinary universe, when I look at it as Bhagavan, form of Bhagavan, then that my appreciation is what? Extraordinary appreciation of the ordinary universe. Therefore, just because I've been always perceiving, enjoying, experiencing this ordinary world, I may not have such an attitude. So what Bhagavan implies is, it is important for us to slowly, gradually develop devotion for Bhagavan. First of all, we must try to develop devotion for Bhagavan. And in order to develop bhakti, in order to develop this devotion for Bhagavan, towards Bhagavan, I need to train myself. I need to train myself in the sense, I need to develop my devotion for the Lord. Only then it be possible for me to associate this universe as an embodiment of Bhagavan. I can associate this universe, I can see this universe as an embodiment of Bhagavan. Then appreciation of Bhagavan also must be there. Understanding that this universe is associated with Bhagavan. And this universe, the value of this universe is not even though I have been looking as ordinary universe, is immeasurably, limitlessly, incomparably, it is valuable because my appreciation is different. I see it as Bhagavan because my attitude towards it also changes. Therefore, now I'll come to this point. Please make a note. So, Arjuna asked a question. Arjuna's question was whether he would be able to have Bhagavan's vision of Bhagavan's cosmic form. Whether it would be possible for him to have the Vishwarupa Darshanam. That was the question. So, if the first verse onwards, until the eight verses are presented in the 11th chapter as the verses introducing the teaching. So we can say introductory verses. So Bhagavan Krishna answers that this Vishwarupam of Bhagavan, the cosmic form of Bhagavan is not like any one of the objects in the world. So I see the mountain, I see the ocean, like that, I see Bhagavan. So it is not like seeing like any one of the forms of Bhagavan, seeing everything as the only form of Bhagavan. This is Vishwarupa Darshan. If I have to see any one given form as Bhagavan, either a mountain or a ocean or a tree or a plant, seeing one thing as Bhagavan is very easy. Much easier. But in seeing any one given form as Bhagavan, easier, but an attitudinal change by which I learn to appreciate this whole cosmos as Bhagavan requires tremendous transformation. Therefore, Bhagavan says, it is not impossible to see the cosmic form of Bhagavan. It is definitely possible. But what it requires is a different bent of mind. So Krishna makes it very clear. Hey Arjuna, it is not difficult to see. It is not impossible to have the vision of cosmic form, even though it is not simply seeing something. It's not like something, ordinary thing. It is a appreciation of Bhagavan with a different attitudinal change. Requires a tremendous transformation, tremendous change. It is not difficult, it is possible, but it depends upon a very special, unique bent of mind. And that mind, the change in mind, the attitude with which one can appreciate. The mind with that attitude alone is called Divya Chakshu. I'm going to tell you different context, okay? How to understand what Divya Chakshu is. And Bhagavan says, Arjuna, not worry, I will give you Divya Chakshu. Divyam Dadamite Chakshu. Krishna said, don't worry, you need Divya Chakshu means that attitude is important. You don't have that. Don't worry. I will bless you with that Divya Chakshu. What is Divya Chakshu? The change in one's attitude. Attitudinal change. Attitudinal transformation. Which I'll bless you, Arjuna, bless you with. Okay. What is that? Divya Chakshu? What Krishna means by saying attitudinal change? Please make a note. It is nothing but, having an attitudinal change towards the world, born of understanding, which Krishna calls it a Divya Chakshu, which Krishna wanted to give Arjuna in order to be able to appreciate the whole world as Bhagavan. Seeing whole world as Bhagavan's Rupa, Vishwa Rupam, for that, what is that? It is nothing but, very simple, it is nothing but Ahankara Mamakara Rahitam Manaha. A mind which is free from Ahankaraha and Mamakaraha. So, in order to have a different attitude towards the world as Paramatma, my mind must be free from ahankara and mamakara. Because Vishwarupa Darshanam is nothing but seeing everything as Bhagavan. If I have to see everything as Bhagavan, there should not be something called I or mine. Everything belongs to Bhagavan here. Everything belongs to Bhagavan. Everything is Bhagavan. Means there's nothing other than Bhagavan. When I say nothing other than Bhagavan, where is I? Where is mine? Therefore, that it is not possible for one to alienate the world. It is not possible for one to isolate oneself from the whole. It is not possible for one to say I and mine. There is no I, there is no mine, because everything is Bhagavan. So this, if there's no ahankara, there's no mamakara, then mean what? Everything belongs to Bhagavan, everything Bhagavan. There's nothing which can be said to be mine, mama. One can be possessive of. So my body, my house, my people, my children, my husband, my world, my. Everything is Bhagavan. Where is mine? How can there be mine? Relatively, we do say, this is mine, that is mine, this belongs to them. Therefore, the fact is, Nimitta Karanam is Bhagavan, Upadana Karanam is Bhagavan. There's nothing, the Bhagavan is the Karana, means the whole Jagat is Bhagavan. Then everything is Bhagavan, means everything belongs to Bhagavan, everything is Bhagavan, means there's no I and mine. Therefore, if we have to appreciate this fact of everything as Bhagavan, belonging to Bhagavan, then nothing should belong to me. Nothing should belong to me. Nothing should belong to me means, then my mind must be free from ahankara and mamakara. So Krishna says, what Krishna implies is, it is this mind which is free from I sense and my sense is divine I. It is this mind which is free from I sense and my sense is divine I. Divya Chakshuhu. Ahankara Mamakara Rahitam Manaha Eva Divya Chakshuhu. So Krishna says, Arjuna, you need Divya Chakshuhu to appreciate whole Jagat, to have the Vishwarupam of Bhagavan, Darshanam of Bhagavan. Vishwarupa Darshanam of Bhagavan to appreciate this attitudinal change, to see the ordinary world as Bhagavan is extraordinary attitude, and that attitude is possible only if you have understanding and if you have this mind which is free from ahankara and mamakara. Okay. Now, let us see. Bhagavan has blessed Arjuna with a Divya Chakshu. Then what happened? The change in Arjuna's perception Arjuna also has a different attitude now, different perception. Bhagavan has imagined, Bhagavan has blessed Arjuna with this Divya Chakshu. So he has, you know, he no ahankara, no amakara, and there's no attitude change has happened. Tremendous transformation happens in Arjuna's mind. Then, in a new perception, with a new attitude, Arjuna is spellbound. Arjuna remains spellbound. Arjuna is highly astonished. So there is no change in Bhagavan's appearance. There's no change in the appearance of the world. Nothing has changed. Arjuna has not changed. Jagat has not changed. Bhagavan has not changed. Nothing has changed. But Arjuna's perspective has changed. There's a new, different appreciation of this whole universe as Bhagavan. When Arjuna was astonished, shocked and spellbound, I wanted to remind you, our Sanjaya, very, very highly learned, wise person, a jnani, one of the punyams Dhritarashtra had was that he could have such a wise person called, like Sanjaya, as his personal assistant. In spite of that, he was wicked. So the Sanjaya, who was giving already the live commentary of what was happening in Kurukshetra to Dhritarashtra, you know, Sanjaya was already giving live commentary of what was happening in the battlefield of Kurukshetram to Dhritarashtra. So Sanjaya again now gives him. Sanjaya also, when Arjuna had the beautiful now Vishwarupa Darshanam, Sanjaya also had. So Sanjaya, as he has Vishwarupa Darshanam, his live commentary continues. He gives a brief description of Vishwarupa Darshanam which Arjuna had. And that is why I can say now, the first 8 verse only, introductory verses, the 9th verse until the 13th verse, 9th to the 14th verse, Sanjaya gives the live commentary of Vishwarupa Darshanam seen by Arjuna. It means Arjuna had Vishwarupa Darshanam, Sanjaya also had Vishwarupa Darshanam, and because of Sanjaya's description, also Dhritarashtra had, the blind king also had Vishwarupa Darshanam. So here you all must doubt, how is it possible? See, Dhritarashtra was physically blind. He had Vishwarupa Darshanam listening to the narration, description of Sanjaya. And Sanjaya had Vishwarupa Darshanam, not only Arjuna. So for Arjuna to be able to have the Vishwarupa Darshanam, Bhagavan Krishna blessed him with a Divya Chakshu, a unique special mind, which is free from ahankara, mahamakara, because of it, the attitudinal change happens towards the universe as Bhagavan. So, which means, how did Sanjaya have the Vishwarupa Darshanam? That means, he definitely, without Krishna's help, Sanjaya had Vishwarupa Darshanam, because Sanjaya naturally had the Divya Chakshu. Sanjaya was a highly evolved person. He had Divya Chakshu. In fact, Madhusudana Saraswati or other commentators, they mention the very word Sanjayaha. Now Sanjaya was a great person. Sanjaya could have the Vishwarupa Darshanam effortlessly because he had. Arjuna was given, blessed by Krishna to have the Divya Chakshu. Sanjaya had Divya Chakshu naturally because of his wisdom, because of his jnanam. There's no ahankara makara. And other people talk very highly, other commentators talk very highly of Sanjaya. Sam is a prefix. Jayaha means victory. Sanjayaha means ever victorious. Ever victorious means what? Victorious over what? The one who is victorious over his own mind. One who has mastery over his mind. Which means the one who is victorious over the inner enemies of I sense and my sense. Sanjayaha, it is not, Shankara Bhagavatpada doesn't write this. Other commentators in the context they mention. Sanjayaha means the one who has mastery. One who is victorious over the inner enemies of Ahankara and Makara. The very name tells that he is a person of the mind free from Ahankara Makara. He had Divya Chakshu. So Arjuna, that is why he could appreciate Vishwarupa Darshanam. He had it. So mind which is free from ahankara makara is a sanjaya. Sanjayam manaha. The victorious mind. So Sanjaya had Divya Chakshu. He could see. Not only he could see, he could give the darshanam to Dhritarashtra also. Physically blind, but because of the greatness of Sanjaya, even he had brave appreciation of Vishwarupa Darshanam. So from verse number 9th to 14th, also we have Vishwarupa Darshanam described by Sanjaya. And there we can see how Bhagavan is the one with the innumerable countless heads and hands and legs and all the bodies, etc. That's a big description. So here we must be very careful. It is not appropriate on our part to imagine Bhagavan with enjoying having so many hands and so many legs, etc. We do have drawn pictures nowadays. Okay, that's okay to worship. But really speaking, it is not the appropriate thing. So what we need to understand is, it is a symbolic presentation of Bhagavan being the whole. Really, Bhagavan doesn't have the hundred, many, many heads and many, many hands, etc. Like in Purusha Suktam, it is said, Sahasra Shirsha Purushaha Sahasraksha Sahasrapat Sabhumim Vishvato Vritva. So it is said Bhagavan has thousands of eyes and thousands of ears, thousands of noses, thousands of heads, etc. You know, and when we do morning prayer, we say Karagre Vasate Lakshmihi. We ask to see our own hands as Bhagavan. In Sri Rudra Prashna, it is said, Ayam e Bhagavan, Ayam e Bhagavattaraha, Ayam e e. So, see your own hand as Bhagavan. Means nothing is yours, nothing is, there's no such a thing, nothing is yours. Everything is Bhagavan. seeing everything as Bhagavan is, seeing the Bhagavan as the one with innumerable, countless heads, hands, legs, etc. Therefore, Sanjaya first narrates the description of Vishwarupa Darshanam, and also for after, then we can see the 15th verse onwards until the 22nd verse. 15th verse onwards until the 22nd verse. Arjuna appreciates how beautiful the whole universe is, how amazing it is. Even though the whole universe is always wonderful, amazing, beautiful, unfortunately, we are not able to appreciate. We are not able to appreciate because the appreciation of the beauty, the magnanimous beauty, the wonder and amazing thing about Bhagavan, the whole, is possible only if the mind is free from ahankara and mamakara. When the ahankara and mamakara really keeps us holding on to us tightly, then we miss the beauty of, we miss appreciating the beauty of the whole. In fact, Pujya Swamiji used to say, when you see a bird flying, when you see a plant, when you see a beautiful flower, when you see, like our Bharatiyar used to sing, that Nandalala song. I don't know how many of you heard it. People must be knowing this. Everything you can see, everything when you see, it must remind you of Bhagavan. Such an appreciation, because without being taught by anybody, there is knowledge on the part of every living creature, every living being to live its own life. Pujya Swamiji used to say, every living creature is blessed with adequate knowledge to live its own life. A frog is blessed with adequate knowledge to live its life. A fish is blessed with adequate knowledge to live the life of a fish. No, a crab, a snail, a butterfly, a cow, a calf, a newborn calf, without being taught by anybody, it goes and sucks the mother's udder, drinks milk. Who teaches? The plant absorbs water and lives, survives. Every living being with adequate knowledge is blessed. It is blessed with adequate knowledge to live its own life. And you must be, if there's no ahankara, makara, do not really keep us occupied, then definitely we can appreciate the beauty of Bhagavan, Bhagavan being manifest in everything as everything. Okay. Now, the next part, what I want to tell you is, the Vedantin appreciates the beauty, the wonder of the world as Bhagavan. Bhagavan in terms of Jnanam. Whereas an ordinary person, a scientist who cannot see beyond the matter, can only appreciate it as, he calls it, it is a wonder of the wonder of the nature. A naturalist calls it a wonder of the nature. And Vedantin calls it Bhagavan all knowledge. Okay. So, after that we see from verse number 23rd onwards until the 30th verse, we all must remember Bhagavan is presented as Kala Kshayakrit, Loka Kshayakrit Kalaha. Loka Kshayakrit Kalaha. Bhagavan is presented as the Loka Kshayakrit Kalaha. Means where Bhagavan, Arjuna really sees, shocked, the seeing the mouth of Bhagavan. You know why? Because the mouth is unimaginably described mouth, Bhagavan's mouth. And it's very frightening mouth. Mouth is described there. It's a huge mouth. Why? Because the mouth presented in Vishwarupa Darshanam, Bhagavan's mouth, described in the Vishwarupa Darshanam of 11th chapter Bhagavad Gita, please understand, it's a symbolic representation of Lord Death, time factor. Mouth of Krishna, mouth of Bhagavan, presented in the Vishwarupa Darshanam, is a big mouth which is not real, which is only a symbolic representation of the time factor. Kalaha, time factor. And the time factor is associated with many things in life. Okay? See, Vyasa Bhagavan really used the symbolic language. In the sense, language of symbology. The language of symbolism Vyasa used when he happened to describe Vishwarupa. There are soldiers in both the armies. In Pandu's army, sorry, in Dhritarashtra's, Duryodhana's army and Pandava's army. All the soldiers were presented as though they were entering into the mouth of Bhagavan. Some of them were got munched, some of them were stuck in the teeth, etc. This is a very frightening description. And the mouth symbolizes what? The time factor. Lord Yama, Lord Death. And there in the mouth was, mouth was gulping and swallowing everything. So, we understand, creation happens in time, sustenance happens in time, and resolution of the universe also happens in time. Srishtihi, Stitihi, Layaha. All the three happen in time. So, Srishti Pradhana Kalaha, the time factor associated with the creation, time factor associated with the sustenance, time factor associated with the resolution, time factor associated with the birth, death, and span of life. So time is associated with every change in life. When you accept, see, this time factor associated with the resolution or death, naturally, very frightening. So time is the cause. Time also is one of the aspects of Bhagavan, the whole. Time factor doesn't exist outside of Bhagavan. If everything is Bhagavan, all it is, there is only Bhagavan. What about birth is Bhagavan, death is Bhagavan, sustenance is Bhagavan, time factor is Bhagavan. This is a concept of time in Vedantic vision, concept of time. Time is mithya. Time is non-separate from Bhagavan. Time is also one of the aspects of Bhagavan. And the time factor is personified as Lord Yama. Coming on a buffalo vehicle. Therefore, we always offer our salutations to Bhagavan in the form of Kalaha. That's why there's always all of our right and wrong are noticed. Bhagavan in the form of time factor calculates all of our right and wrong actions. That is why punya papams are calculated. Our sukha dukkams are ordained by Bhagavan in the form of law and order. Therefore, between those verses, that verse number 23rd to 30th, were frightening. Lord Yama, in the sense, Kalatattvam, Bhagavan's mouth is present as the Kalatattvam. In fact, is mainly for us to understand the fact. It's a very, very important fact to be understood. Death is nothing, the time factor associated with all forms of changes. Associated with the death also, which is nothing but a change. Death is nothing but a change. And it is inevitable, unavoidable for all the beings. Therefore, slowly we are helped to understand the fact, appreciate the fact, and accept the fact. This understanding and acceptance of the fact of time factor being one of the aspects of Bhagavan, thereby death being inevitable, change also is to for us to become more mature, that we will gradually we can grow out of fear of death. Marana bhayam we can get over. In fact, maranam, death, is not something inauspicious. That is why when somebody dies also, we are allowed to mourn for 12 days. And what happens on the 13th day or the 16th day, we take it as Shubha Svikarana Dinam. Shubha Svikarana Dinam, we on the 16th day or the 13th day, all close people who are mourning and missing the person, they learn to accept it. Then they take the death as a Shubha Svikarana, an auspicious event which has happened for a person in life. Then they wear new clothes and go to temple and come back and have, they accept it. That's why it's called Shubha Svikarana Dinam. The Antyeshti Karma ends with the Shubha Svikarana Dinam celebration. It's a ritual which is done. Anyway, what I want to say here, this is something we learn to accept it. This portion helps us accept. Understanding Bhagavan, time factor is one of the aspects of Bhagavan. So Arjuna was cool when he was seeing other people were getting into Bhagavan's mouth. When he saw Bhishma, Drona, all of them nearing Bhagavan's mouth and entering there, there came Mamakara. Oh, my teacher. Oh, my grandfather. Mamakara came. That is why he could not see himself inside of Bhagavan as part of inside Bhagavan. He isolated himself outside of Bhagavan. Then came what? Fear. Because Arjuna did not have Ahankara, Mamakara, Rahita, Manaha. Demand is free from Ahankara, Mamakara. Arjuna did not have naturally. It was temporarily blessed by Bhagavan. Bhagavan gave him. So naturally, it is then that was there for some time for him to appreciate. But then, with his own anxiety came up, and he got frightened. He could not accept it because that's why he saw himself being different from Bhagavan. Isolation. In isolating oneself from the whole, one alienates the whole from oneself. Then one cannot help getting, becoming subject to fear. When Ahankara, Mamakara are there in the mind, one cannot help isolating oneself from the whole. When one isolates oneself from the whole, naturally one alienates the whole from oneself. Then there's a division. In division, in dvaitam, definitely there will be fear. Therefore, Arjuna was so frightened And you can see how in 11th chapter, how Arjuna got frightened. We saw those verses towards the end. Because very, very frightening description, how they were bitten and how they get stuck in between the teeth and all those things. Therefore, the 30th verse is really frightening verse. Like that, we saw all those things. Therefore, all the effort must be for us to free ourselves from ahankara makara. Of course, only in jnanam, absolutely, we can have this ahankara makara resolved. Until then, it will not go. But until jnanam also, the more we bring in Bhagavan into life, the less will be ahankara. The less ahankara, the less amakara, the more we can appreciate Bhagavan. The more we appreciate Bhagavan, the more joy, the more beauty we can appreciate the world. So, in ahankara, if my mind is helplessly disturbed with ahankara and mamakara, then you can't help having all other emotions. There'll be craving, there'll be anger, and in anger, even when there's anger, and we cannot see Bhagavan also as something very soft and nice and kind and loving and giving. No, we will look at even Bhagavan as a very cunning, cruel, wicked, frightening creature. Then what about other people? In anger, we cannot appreciate the beauty of any other person. Therefore, it may even drive one crazy. In ahankara, when ahankara is there, mamakara is there, appreciation of, you know, Bhagavan is not possible, then one cannot help becoming victim of the problem of anger. In anger, it can take one to the extent of becoming, even denying existence of Bhagavan. Can make a person even an atheist. Therefore, it is all possible. So finally, what we need to do is, Bhagavan himself says, Aham Loka Kshayakrit Kalaha Asmi. I am the very time factor. Especially what? Not only creative time factor, not only protective sustaining time factor, I am also the destroying time factor, destructive time factor. So, from verse number 31st to the 34th, Bhagavan talks about it. Therefore, Bhagavan says, when the time, Bhagavan in the form of time factor determines everything in keeping with one's Parabdha Karma Phalam. Birth is already predetermined. All what we go through in life is already predetermined in keeping with Punya Papams. So death also is already predetermined. All of us have a date of death, already predetermined. Only thing is what we are doing now, how we are doing now in conformity with Dharma, that Dharma alone will protect us for the later on future. The death which has been already determined cannot be changed. Death is going to happen. When, how, that we do not know. We need not know. Definitely it is already ordained, predetermined. But it's because death is going to be definite, what my pains and pleasures are already determined, that doesn't mean what I do should be a wrong thing. So what we are doing now must be good things, right things, appropriate things. So consciously, I use my will to do the right thing, refrain from the wrong thing. And I surrender my will to Bhagavan. Just to live my ordained span of life, seeking Bhagavan's grace for jnanam and moksha. Then, all the punya papams have been exhausted already, and some of them are getting exhausted, and death also will come one day. Definitely. This is something unchangeable. Therefore, Bhagavan says, hey Arjuna, finally he says, nimitta matram bhava. Arjuna, nimitta matram bhavatvam. Why? When we have this understanding of Bhagavan being the whole, this appreciation of the whole as Bhagavan, then we also understand another beauty in the whole. There is a universal, natural, moral law and order, which is Bhagavan, manifestation of Bhagavan. The orderliness is Bhagavan. And not just the orderliness alone, the orderliness based harmony. The harmony, orderliness and the harmony of the whole prapancha is also not different from Bhagavan. The orderliness and the harmony which forms part of the whole cosmos is non-separate, inseparable, integral part of Bhagavan. Bhagavataha Angam. It's a part of Bhagavan. Therefore, if the orderliness is Bhagavan, the orderliness based harmony of the creation is Bhagavan, then naturally all that we can do is we have to make the best use of our free will in conformity with this universal, natural, moral law and order. Okay, making the best use of our free will in conformity with this universal natural model, law and order, I was called universal harmony, alone is said to be dharma. If my free will is in tune with the universal natural model, law and order, okay, the order of Bhagavan, the whole, Vishwarupa Bhagavan. And this conformity, this alignment of my will being in alignment with Bhagavan, the universal law and order, is called surrender. There is no other way of surrendering one's will to Bhagavan. There is no other surrender. In jnanam, there is absolute surrender. Until jnanam and understanding Bhagavan as the whole, appreciating the fact of Bhagavan being the very orderliness and harmony of the whole cosmos, using my will, make the best use of my will, in conformity with the universal moral law and order, having my will in alignment with this order is surrender. There's no other way of surrendering to Bhagavan. That's the only way of resolving my individuality in Bhagavan, the totality. And when such appreciation comes, oh, everything is Bhagavan. Such an appreciation comes, and naturally, we can only, there is a reverence towards everything. That reverence becomes expressed in the form of namaskara. That's what Arjuna also does, namaskara. No, we saw that those verses towards the end, how Arjuna was doing namaskara. So he said, I offer Krishna salutations to you, this side and that side and every side, all sides, sarvataha. So Arjuna offered salutations to Krishna. The order which is there as part of the whole cosmos, which is as part of the Bhagavan, cannot be seen through physical eyes, but we can appreciate the Dharma being manifest. But still, Arjuna was not ready. He got scared and he asked Krishna to come back to his the previous form. And Krishna did come back. But Arjuna could not digest that form. So Arjuna requested Bhagavan. And Bhagavan also saw that under Arjuna's unpreparedness for having such a vision, he only himself blessed him with the Divya Chakshu to appreciate it for some time. So Arjuna has yet to get his own Divya Chakshu by himself. Therefore, when there is fear, as long as when there is no capacity to appreciate Bhagavan as the whole, then better to start with worshipping and praying to Bhagavan in any one given form. That is how we have to start. We must cultivate bhakti towards Bhagavan, worshipping Bhagavan in any one given form, so that that ekarupa bhakti gradually should be taken to the Vishwarupa bhakti. And a Vishwarupa bhakti should finally culminate in arupa bhakti. And arupa bhakti is nothing but having the clear vision of the truth of the whole Bhagavan being one's own Swarupa. And Krishna says finally, from the verse 46 to 55, Bhagavan concludes the teaching and Bhagavan mentions that Arjuna was very fortunate to have the Vishwarupa Darshanam because of his commitment to Bhagavan, because of his bhakti for Bhagavan. He earned Bhagavan's grace to be blessed temporarily, at least Divya Chakshu, to be able to appreciate this Vishwarupa Darshanam. And finally, Bhagavan says, only by ananya bhakti it is possible for one to see Bhagavan as the whole. To see, appreciate it in reality, so one must have that mind, and for which Bhagavan says, one must totally surrender oneself to Bhagavan. How? Mat karma krit, mat paramaha, mat bhaktaha, sanga varjitaha, nirvairaha, sarva bhuteshu yaha mam pashyati saha mam pashyati pandava. So Bhagavan says finally, that those last two verses, one who lives his life from everything as an offering to Bhagavan, having Bhagavan as the ultimate goal, one who lives his life. Being totally committed to Bhagavan, one who lives his life. And one who is not attached to anything for his happiness and security. And one who is dependent only on Bhagavan for his happiness. And one who is free from any, one who does not have any hatred towards anybody. Such a person finally, definitely reaches me. He attains me. There is no doubt. Okay. What is Bhagavan ends? In fact, Vishwarupa Darshanam ultimately, you know, ultimately is for us to have, it's for Upasanam also. It is for us to learn to see everything as Bhagavan, so that the narrow mind becomes wide, expanded mind. This is how Bhagavan is now going to be give the appreciation of Bhagavan as the orderliness and harmony of the whole cosmos being an integral, non-separate part of Bhagavan the whole will gradually help us live our lives in conformity with Dharma, with the Dharma. So we, if at all not possible, one must make definitely efforts to seek Bhagavan's ways to be able to live a life of Dharma. Finally, what Bhagavan says is, when he says you are an imittam, we have to understand our birth was determined, death is determined. In between what we go through is also already determined. Nothing can be changed. That doesn't mean we should not make use of our will. Still, we have the responsibility of making the best use of our will. That will must be surrendered to Bhagavan of Dharma. That's the only way we can tap Bhagavan's ways, which will help us gradually develop the mental condition which will enable us appreciate Bhagavan being the whole. We simply talk it. We must be able to see it. The more we see Bhagavan, the less we ahankara and amakara is there, the more joy we enjoy. And gradually, this will shift us from seeing Bhagavan as the whole with Vishwarupa to Arupa Darshanam of Bhagavan, which is the culmination of Bhakti. Okay, what is Bhakti? That we will see next class. That we will see in our 12th chapter. Okay. Any question? Could I didn't chant anything? Was it clear? Because last verse is only summary of his, Arjuna came back to his, when Bhagavan came back to his normal previous form. So this one is a small brief. I want to give a brief summary of what I was talking to you. Mainly what we need to understand is, because we should not think Bhagavan gave some third eye here. Something like that. No. And Bhagavan did not stand like having thousands of heads like that. It's all only as I said, Vyasa Bhagavan has used language of symbology to drive home certain things. Finally, everything boils down to this fact, you know, how can I have the mind which is free from I sense and my sense? Only in jnanam it is possible. Until the vision of the truth takes place. There's no way of resolving the ahankara for good. But even then, there is a certain way of appreciation. How? The fact, this is what we have to remember. If Bhagavan is not the cause, but there's no cause other than Bhagavan. There's no creation. There's no destruction. There's nothing. There's no creation, there's no destruction means. Everything is as though what is absolutely, ultimately, is there is only the truth in the form of knowledge. But before that, the fact is, but from the standpoint of the universe, we have to appreciate the cause is Bhagavan. The standpoint of the universe, the cause is Bhagavan. We have to say this. Bhagavan is not the cause, but from the standpoint of the universe, cause is Bhagavan. If the cause is Bhagavan, Nimitta Karanam is Bhagavan, Upadana Karanam is Bhagavan, then if Bhagavan, the cause is Bhagavan means Jagat is non-different from Bhagavan, which means Bhagavan alone is in the form of the whole cosmos. What is that Bhagavan who is in the form of the whole cosmos? Bhagavan is non-separate from the universe. Universe is non-different from Bhagavan means what is that Bhagavan? That Bhagavat Swarupam has to become revealed to me in my own mind as my own Swarupam. That is the Arupa Darshanam of Bhagavan. So Vishwarupa Darshanam should culminate in Arupa Darshanam. Okay. So Bhakti, that is Jnanam, we are going to see next chapter. 12th chapter. But I must remember this. And that is also possible only if I tap Bhagavan's grace, for which I have no choice but living a life of dharma. Isn't it? That is why Nimitta Matram Bhava. And towards the end, beautiful verses. He was concluded. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamivavasishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Harihi Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harihi Om. I really pray to Bhagavan. May Bhagavan bless all of you with a clear understanding of the teaching and commitment to be with the teaching.